if you would, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 15 to 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I'm just going to stop right there for right now. I got some more to say about what comes on after. But what I want to speak to today, if I can, is two things revealed in the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To both the Jew and the Greek, there's only one gospel, there's only one message. And it doesn't matter whether you're a barbarian or a Scythian, or a Jew or a Greek. Paul said, I am become all men, all things to all men. But the gospel doesn't change. There's only one message. He will come at it from a different direction when speaking to a Jew than speaking to a Greek. But it's still the same message. There is only the gospel of Christ. But here specifically, it tells us that the belief of the truth is necessary to salvation. The belief of the gospel is necessary to salvation. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit does come first, and belief of the truth. Both are necessary, as Walter spoke about a couple of weeks ago. But here in Romans 1, Paul lists two very specific things revealed in the gospel. And I want to try and speak to both of them. Number one is the righteousness of God is revealed therein. But the second thing is also true. The wrath of God is revealed. That's what a lot of people don't want to have a lot to do with. But it's just as true as the righteousness of God. It's just as true as the holiness of God. The wrath of God is just as holy as His righteousness is holy. But here in verse 17, he starts off, for therein. And of course, the question is then, therein what? In what? Well, the reference is into verse 15 and 16, the gospel. Therein the gospel. In the gospel, specifically, as Paul wrote it here, he calls it the gospel of Christ. But therein, Paul starts to expand from verse 15 and verse 16. Therein, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. Why? For therein. Like I said, there's two things here in this scripture revealed in the gospel. Now, you might wonder why I'm not going to talk about it, and I'm not that closely. It is the power of God unto salvation. Well, that's Paul stating in this place, in this context, that's stating what the gospel is. Then he goes on to expound beyond that, to explain it. Therein, the righteousness of God is revealed. Therein, the wrath of God is revealed. So yes, you can say the power of God is revealed in the gospel. It is. But that's not what we're using here as the context. That's not what Paul was talking about. He made that flat statement, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Then he goes on, therein, preaching Christ crucified, the gospel, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Definitely. To them which are called. Paul is being very specific here. Paul is very specific everywhere in his writings. But therein, it says, is the righteousness of God revealed. The first thing listed here is the righteousness of God. So, you start off, and I want to start off with the negative. It's not talking about the righteousness of man. Okay? The gospel does not reveal the righteousness of man. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. The gospel, matter of fact, it does exactly the opposite of that. The gospel reveals the unrighteousness of man. And, the ungodliness of man. Death has passed upon every man. What? For that all have sinned. The gospel tells us this man's righteousnesses, man's good works, are filthy rags. Walter, that's the best we can aspire to. The best we can do is filthy. Paul wasn't here to cheer a man up as a man. He was here to preach the gospel. He desired to go to Rome to preach this gospel to these Romans who believed. The best we can do is filthy. The best we can do is unclean. But therein, in that gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed. It's not the righteousness of man. He goes on in Romans 3 and verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. What does that word mean? Shown. It's known. It's brought forth. It's brought to light. It's shown. It's manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all. Now the world would want to stop right there, and some of them do, but Paul didn't. He said, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. The righteousness of God is manifested in the law and the prophets. And here Paul tells us, it's manifested in the gospel. So what do you mean? Well, when we preach the gospel, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, we are preaching the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. To him do all the scriptures speak. To Christ do all the scriptures speak. When Jesus Christ spoke to those on the road to Emmaus, he expounded the scriptures. That's the Old Testament scriptures. And when he opens the understanding of the disciples later, still in Luke 24, chapter 24, he opened their understanding that for the express purpose that they might understand the scriptures. because he expounded unto them the things in the scriptures that were speaking of him. And that's what we're endeavoring to do when we preach the gospel. We're trying to preach Christ. It is called the gospel of Christ because it's his gospel. And it's about him. It is him. It is the revelation of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Where's that faith come from? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 put it this way. And this has been a wonderful scripture for me. I know it's been a bone of contention for some people, but that's their problem. For he hath made him to be sin for us. That's what it says. And guess what? That's what it means. I'm not here to debate that. No, that's just what it says. Who knew no sin? That. And that's a nice word there. That. That. There's a purpose for Christ being made sin. And here's what Paul writes about that in verse 21 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. He says, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What? In him. In him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I still remember Henry Mahan telling about what Rolf Barner told him. He said, God does everything he does according to his purpose. On purpose, because of his purpose, his word will never return unto him void. It will accomplish that for what I sent it forth. And I can tell you this, that can be salvation and that can be condemnation. That's just the way it is. His word will accomplish that for which he sent it for, and his son's death. He hath made him to be sin. What? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why? Because he had to be made sin. And our sin had to be gone. In order for us to be made the righteousness of God in him. To that statement do all the law, the prophets, the gospels, and the epistles speak. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. I always remember when I first read this verse here, Walter, this is Romans 10:3. I always thought it was kind of a strange statement. But that was my problem. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that part I got, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now Paul, in directly writing, is writing this of the Jews in particular. But I will tell you this, they ain't the only ones. It's still happening today, right now. And I remember Henry, there's another thing Henry said all the time when he read this. He said, they're going about. They're going about, they're going about, they're going about. And you can go to every church on every corner of every street in America, and you will hear, more than likely, people going about to establish their own righteousness. Why? Because they're ignorant of the righteousness of God. The natural man is totally ignorant of the righteousness. This is revealed in the gospel to believers, to those that believe, and to no one else. No one else will have it. But that statement, that last statement, I remember reading this years and years ago. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It just seemed a little odd to me. Because at that time, I was young, okay, and I was ignorant. And on top of that, I was dumb, okay? I've confessed to you people. I don't mind. I'm not as dumb as I used to be, thank God, and I'm not as ignorant as I used to be. But right here, because we get this thing in our head naturally that the righteousness of God is a thing. It ain't a thing. But we get this. And there is a sense where you can consider that, you know, that God is righteous. But what we're talking about here is the righteousness of God. And I've already read it a couple times. That's in Christ. That's in Christ. The natural man thinks the righteousness of God is something needing to be attained to, or something they need to obtain. They're wrong. The righteousness of God needs to actually obtain you. And He will if He wants to. Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. And those first 6-8 words there are just the best words in the world. But of Him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The righteousness of God in the gospel is Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is the righteousness of God by faith to everyone that believeth. Our righteousness, the righteousness of God, is a person. It's not a thing. These Jews to whom preaching Christ crucified is foolishness, they have not submitted themselves to Him. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They will not have this man to reign over him, over them. And that is the state of thousands of churches in America today, and everybody in them. It seems that way. I don't think it is everybody. I'm hoping there's some people there that believe God, that believe Christ. I've been in an Armenian church and a believer. Sure, I got kicked out, but what the heck? I was there. Other people may not have been as lucky to get kicked out and meet Earl Cochran and have Walter Pendleton. He is our righteousness, the righteousness of God, and He is revealed in His gospel. Jeremiah says it in about 3 places. He shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jeremiah is speaking of the future in his time, saying they're going to be this way. The Jews are going to be saved. Israel's going to be saved. Why? He said, well, they're going to call His name the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness, is the gospel. But I want to be very clear. There in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is not made by the gospel. It's not provided by the gospel. It's not given by the gospel. It's not supported. I don't think His righteousness needs any support. It's not applied, not enhanced, not achieved, not obtained. The righteousness of God is revealed in His gospel. The positive is that the righteousness of God that is revealed means it's made manifest, made known, shown, brought to light, and literally the word means unveiled. That righteousness was always there. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The righteousness of God has always been there. The Lord, our righteousness, has always been there. We didn't see Him. That's why He's got to be revealed in the gospel, but He's only revealed in the gospel to them that believe. Because Christ Jesus, the Father, are revealed, both of them are revealed in the gospel, in the good news. The preaching of the gospel is the proclamation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The righteousness of God is manifest in the preaching of, what did Paul say? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Perfect holiness and perfect righteousness are proclaimed in the gospel of Christ, and they are proclaimed as Christ. That's preaching Christ and Him crucified. That verse in 2 Corinthians. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's preaching Christ and Him crucified. And this is only seen from faith to faith. That's what it says. Notice very carefully, both parties in that statement have faith. One sinner saved by grace, preaching to another sinner saved by grace. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The sower sowing the seed doesn't make the ground good. There's four types of ground there, and only one of them is good. But the sower sows the seed. And guess what? That seed is the gospel of Christ. And it is the power of God unto salvation. What? To everyone that believes. From faith to faith. What does this mean? Well, the righteousness of God is not revealed to the lost. It's not revealed to unbelievers. It's not revealed to those without faith. That's just the way it is. But to those that believe, to those that have been given faith by His grace, what? To him that works not, doesn't work, but believes on Him that justifies who? The ungodly. Do you fit in that category? You're been in that category. Do you know that category? The world does not know that category. That's the problem with the world. They don't know what category they're in. I know that category because I used to be in that category all the time. Now, I'm still ungodly, but I also know the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel now. I never knew it before. His faith is what? Counted for righteousness. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. And that works from faith to faith. The righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Is that last statement? The just by faith live. That's the actual order in the Greek. And the righteous one by faith shall live. That's what it says in Young's literal translation. By grace, through faith, and that's not of yourself. And it is revealed from faith to faith. Now the second thing. Verse 18 says, for. This is a continuation of the last verse. This is still going on. This is not an addition. This is not a, well, it is, I guess, an addition, but it's what do you call it? It's connected. It's not a but. But we do this. But of God. No. This, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is also revealed in the gospel. Ain't nobody wants to talk about the wrath of God. They don't like talking about wrath of anybody, for that matter. But they sure don't like talking about the wrath of God because they don't want to acknowledge it. Because, don't you know, God loves everyone. No, I don't know that. I used to think that. I don't anymore. Why? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that includes me. That includes you. That includes everyone. But only those who believe will see this revealed in that gospel. That same gospel that reveals the righteousness of God reveals the wrath of God upon all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. And I said that in the wrong order, because actually it's ungodliness and unrighteousness. You have unrighteousness because you are ungodly. Ungodliness is the cause of unrighteousness. It's not because you do unrighteous things that you become ungodly. No, you already were ungodly. I already was ungodly. And guess what? Because of that, I was full of unrighteousness. My best deeds were filthy rags. We're back to that again. It's all there. Where? In the gospel. So, I want to be clear about this. The wrath of God is not revealed unto ungodly and unrighteous men. That's not what Paul's saying. He's talking about ungodly and unrighteous men. He's not saying this is revealed to them. Now, he does go on, and I mean, boy, he just goes on from here on out about ungodly and unrighteous men through the end of this chapter. You can read it for yourself. But what he's talking about, he's writing to us, to believers, to specifically these believers in Rome, about ungodly and unrighteous men. And he tells us why the wrath of God is against ungodly and all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Why? Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Ungodly and unrighteous men have had this shown to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. And the wrath of God is revealed to us against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. and they are without excuse, even if they don't know it consciously. It's there. It's there. You can go all around the world, and guess what you will find in every continent, every country in the world? You will find religion. You will find people going about to establish their own righteousness. You will find people who are going about, if they've heard the gospel, if they've heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and don't receive it, what they have done is what? Trodden the Son of God underfoot. If the gospel's been preached to them and they don't receive it, they know more than just the heathen out there who haven't heard a thing. The heathen are still without excuse. You understand what Paul has just explained here and is explaining here is, what about the poor sinner? They're without excuse. Just like I was. But God, by the election of grace, has chosen His people. And He has chosen to reveal the righteousness of God and the wrath of God from heaven to His people. The gospel is hid to the lost. To whom what? The God of this world has blinded the mind of. And we are believers. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that are perish. Excuse me. To the one, we are. That's just not just me and Walter. That's everybody. When you speak to somebody about Christ, you are a savor of Christ unto God, and to them. Some, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. It's not saying that the gospel is the savor of life unto life and death unto death. I've been guilty of quoting it that way. No, it says you are. We are. All of us. Marvel not, brethren, when men hate you. You're the savor of death unto death to them. Who is sufficient for these things? For, here's what it's talking about we're doing. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. We're surrounded by them. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We preach Christ and Him crucified, and in so doing, we preach Christ punished for sin by the wrath of God. And resurrected. Completely fulfilling our redemption. Our salvation. It's always particular. And it's always complete. And because of this, because we speak of these things, we are the savor of death unto death for some. And because of this, though, we are the savor of life unto life to those who know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To whom have been revealed the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. He poured out His wrath on His Son. I mean, can we comprehend that? I don't think we can. I remember Martin Luther, God forsaking God. How do I comprehend that? Well, I believe it. I believe it. Because God said it in His Word. And this is the whole thing. None of this was pretense. None of this was pretend. This actually happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, our righteousness, was forsaken by God on that cross. He was punished. He was made sin, and sin had to be punished. Why? Because He is a just God. Be ye holy, for I am holy, are not just words. Without holiness, no man's going to see God. Now, you can go about and try and get some holiness, but I'll tell you this, it ain't going to work, and it doesn't matter if you have Pentecostal holiness over the door. You ain't going to get no holiness. But the righteousness of God is in Christ, and He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And all of this is revealed in His gospel, the gospel of Christ. God will not look over sin, even when it's in His own beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There's the wrath of God revealed in the gospel. There's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. He is our righteousness. He was our substitute. He took our place. He purchased and obtained eternal redemption for us. The righteousness of God and the wrath of God are both revealed in the gospel of Christ. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And if you don't see that, the problem's with you. You can take that any way you want. It's just the way it is. There is no forgiveness of sin, no remission, without the shedding of blood. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time, this place. Most of all, thank You for Your Son, our Lord, who did come and who did give Himself a ransom for many, and who paid the price we couldn't pay, who suffered for our sins, died under the wrath of God, forsaken of God in our place. But You rose, resurrected Him from the dead, because it wasn't possible that life be held by death. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done. Amen. You're missed.